During the coronavirus pandemic, many people are turning to absentee ballots as a way to protect themselves from the virus while still participating in the voting process. But absentee voting has a much higher rate of error than going to the polls in person. Now, let's be clear, we're not talking about fraud, we're talking about error. In the last presidential election, more than 300,000 absentee ballots were rejected for errors nationally, according to data from the U.S. Election Assistance Commission. And during this coming presidential election, that number is likely to be even higher. The recent primary elections in Wisconsin have shown us that there are still many issues with absentee voting that need to be addressed well before November. An investigation by American Public Media showed that around 23,000 ballots were rejected, and that's roughly the same amount as President Trump's margin of victory in 2016. Tom Scheck is an investigative reporter for APM Reports, and he joins me now. Tom, welcome to The Takeaway.
Hey there.
So why did you all choose Wisconsin to investigate in particular?
Well, there were a few reasons. One of the main ones was because it was at the height of the lockdowns that occurred in early April. It was one of the first states that held a primary. There was a lot of confusion and chaos. Some elections officials have called it almost the COVID election. But the other reason is Wisconsin doesn't have a lot of experience when it comes to absentee voting or vote by mail. And when we started to look into the data, we found that there were a large number of rejected ballots, mostly because of what we would consider voter error. A voter didn't sign the absentee ballot envelope when they put the ballot in. A voter didn't have a witness and the witness didn't sign it, or the witness didn't put that person's address down. And any one of those three things gets that ballot tossed out.
These feel like errors that could have happened because people potentially didn't read the form correctly, or maybe they filled it out quickly, or what were some of the reasons that you heard?
Well, the first thing was they were absolutely shocked that we were calling them and telling them their vote didn't count. But when we started to talk to them, they would argue and say, no, I signed the form. I had a witness. That witness was my wife. And yeah, we filled out the address on it. But then when we did an open records request of those ballot envelopes, we found that, you know, in some instances, the spouse signed the form but didn't put the address down for the voter and the spouse. And that would make sense in some instances because the voter would, you know, have the address up above, but that would be an instance where it didn't occur. So they were pretty surprised by it. Some of the voters actually said, you know, I don't trust this system. I'm going to have to go to the polls just to make sure my vote counts. And that leads to some uncertainty about what's going to happen heading forward into November.
Why did people make errors? Again, just sort of, is it just too complicated? Like, I've never voted absentee, so I'm not even sure how the process goes. Do you get the ballot in the mail and then are the instructions clear enough?
Well, that's part of the thing that a lot of elections experts say is the ballot should be really clear. It's kind of like when you fill out a mortgage or do a refinance where it says, sign here, initial here. That's what they're saying should be the way that these ballot envelopes are put together. So typically when you get an absentee ballot in the mail, you get the ballot, you get an envelope to put that ballot in, and then you have to put that envelope into a separate envelope. And that's to ensure that when they open up those envelopes, nobody knows how you vote. And then on that separate ballot envelope that you have to then fill out your name and sign it, find a witness, put the address down. And that's all meant to reduce fraud so they know that you're the person who's actually voting. And then from there, what happens is people maybe are rushing through this. They maybe don't find a witness, or they do find a witness. They don't put the address on there. And then what ends up happening is those ballots then get shipped to the elections officer. And the elections officer can look at it and say, oh, this one is rejected. And they can call, in some states, they are required to call the voter and say, hey, come fix this if you want. But in Wisconsin and many other states, there is no requirement for that. And so that's where this kind of gets tripped up. Some elections officials say what should happen is there should be a requirement that every elections official contacts the voter and says, hey, there's a mistake here. And then they have some time in what's called a cure period. Even after the election day, maybe 5 or 7 days after that, they can still come and fix the problem. A lot of states don't do that, though, and that's a big worry.
Are we concerned about how this might play out in other states?
Yeah, every state is different with these requirements. And so in some states, you need a witness. In some states, the elections official looks at your signature on the envelope and then matches it with a signature on file. And that can be a problem for younger voters who maybe don't establish their signature, or for older voters who maybe don't have the same motor skills that they had, you know, 10 or 15 years earlier. So their signature doesn't look the same. Those kinds of things could toss a ballot out. In some instances, I know in Missouri, there's a notary that's required. So you have to have a notary to authorize it. And so these are the types of things that trip voters up. And then if elections officials don't notify the voters, that can be a big problem.
Fraud, the thing that we hear so much about. I mean, I feel like the allegations of fraud and the actual instances of voter fraud are often, there's a chasm in between those two things, right? There are more allegations that this is could potentially happen versus instances of fraud actually happening. So with that said, I mean, do any of the things that we're talking about, getting a notary, having a witness, do they actually prevent the fraud that people are concerned about, or do they create more of a of an access issue to voting?
Well, we can't really prove a negative to say, well, this prevented fraud. There have been instances where, you know, there's this in North Carolina, in Patterson, New Jersey, where there's either there were ballot harvesting where people took a lot of ballots and then processed those in a way that was nefarious. But in the instances of whether or not this causes fraud or it's a bigger problem, our analysis found that there were 23,000 ballots rejected in Wisconsin. Nearly 70% of those were a result of a voter error. And these are voters who are not, like, they're registered voters. They have the legal right to cast a ballot. And what happened was their ballots got tossed because they didn't sign the form correctly. They missed a witness signature. They didn't have the address on there. So they basically missed a line on a form, which then got their ballot tossed out. And that's one of the things that a lot of voters were really curious about, is they said, wait a second, I'm a legal voter here. I have the right to do this. And yet my ballot was tossed.
Are voters challenging any of these steps that they have to take in the state of Wisconsin?
Well, I can tell you when I was a political reporter in Minnesota in 2008, where there was a very consequential U.S. Senate recount between Senator Norm Coleman and the Democratic challenger Al Franken, one of the things that they found is that the first thing the Democrat attorneys came in to say is, we want to check for any wrongly rejected absentee ballots. And we want to put those into the pot to make sure that those votes count. And then in the end, they ended up doing that and had a consequential factor in that recount where Al Franken ended up winning. And so sometimes you don't see these types of things if the margin of victory is 3 or 4 percentage points where it's 40, 50, 60,000 vote difference. But if it's a very close election, I mean, you can look at Michigan. There were nearly 11,000 votes different between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton 2016. Wisconsin, Trump won by 23,000 votes. Pennsylvania, Trump won by 44,000 votes. Minnesota, Clinton won by 44,000 votes. And so you have these elections where if there's an increase in by-mail voting, 2 or 3% of that total votes cast are rejected, could start to eat into those numbers in a way that I think voters would be really surprised by.
What can voters start thinking about now so they can make sure that their vote is counted in November?
Well, the first thing is to make sure you're reading the form correctly and filling out everything that needs to be filled out. And then after you send that ballot in some instances, you can go online and check and see whether, I know in Minnesota, you can go online and check and say, okay, my ballot was accepted and it will be counted. That's online. If they don't have that ability to do that, you can call your elections official and say, hey, I just want to make sure I sent in my absentee ballot. Did you receive it? And is it going to be accepted or is there a problem? The elections officials have to say that. And the other thing is that a lot of the campaigns are going to be watching this too. These are all public records. So if, you know, John Smith has their ballot rejected and one of the campaigns knows that John Smith is a hardcore Democrat or a hardcore Republican, that party is going to work very hard to make sure John Smith goes in and fixes the ballot. But short of that, those are the only things that you can really do unless one of the states has a law that says the elections official has to contact the voter.
A lot of things to consider as we head into what I just said was one of the most contentious elections that we're expected to have in this country in November, particularly for those wanting to cast their ballot from afar. Tom Scheck is an investigative reporter for APM Reports. Tom, thanks so much.
Thank you.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.